Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This is the time in our service when we take communion. We remember Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And we take communion together, and we have a special treat for you this morning. You guys are probably wondering, who is this handsome young fellow standing next to Brandel here? Well, this is Chris Yoder. He is 24 years old. He's from Bloomington Normal, Illinois. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in agribusiness from Illinois State University. He marks on here with a GPA of 3.25. You know, Chris is a guy that comes highly recommended. Chris was in the he did an internship, an unpaid internship in St. Louis. And I called the teen minister out there and had been asking about Chris. And I got to see Chris because I got to see him interacting with the kids at camp and those different types of things. And Chris comes highly recommended. This is a guy that can study the Bible all the way through with people. And he's great for the relationships with the guys. That's his passion, to develop relationships. You know, I called and I talked to his campus minister. And his campus minister said, hey, this is a guy that can be evangelistic all by himself. This is a guy that will lead a Bible talk. This is a guy that can organize. This is a guy that can get it done for you. And you know that one of our prayers this year is that we're going to have interns. Amen. And so, you know, we have an opportunity here to interview this kid. And you get an opportunity to see him and salivate a little bit. And be praying. We want him to come and do some campus work. We want him to come and do some youth and family work as well. Great guy, great with relationships. He's got a great heart. He's going to lead us in communion right now.
Thanks, Brandel. I didn't know that you talked to all those people, so glad they had something good to say about me, which is good. So if you could turn to Psalm 69. I'm going to be talking about just what Jesus has done in my life and relating it to what he's done for all of us. And so go to Psalm 69, it's going to be 1 through 4. In Psalm 69, 1 through 4, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the murky depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, the floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help, my throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God." And this scripture for me, it's very deep, it's very personal for me because it reminds me a lot of growing up in my teen years. It reminds me a lot of the different struggles and stuff that I went through in life. I grew up going to a pretty religious, in a pretty religious family. I went to a Lutheran church growing up, and but something that really always has plagued me is depression. And depression is just, it runs in my family, it runs in my mom's side. My grandma has it, a lot of my aunts and uncles and cousins have been dealing with it and that sort of a thing. And going through my teen years, I had a couple awkward stages and thoughts of suicide ran through my mind. I was like, man, I don't understand why I'm here. Why am I living today? It you feel broken. You don't want to get up out of bed. You just want to sleep all day, and you just want the world to go away. But something that really brought me to God's attention is this Christian rock festival called Cornerstone that I went to, and it's like a 5-day Woodstock festival, and like everybody there was like awesome. They had people just sharing everything. I knew there was a group there that made like spaghetti, and they put in these 5-gallon buckets, and they were like dipping it out. It's kind of barbaric, but it was awesome because it was free, and like all teens love free food. So I mean, it was just very heartfelt. I mean, they shared soap for like taking showers in the lake that they had there, and everything. It was so awesome. I was thinking to myself, why can't it always be like this? You know, why can't we always love each other for who they are and what they do? And so I started a more active search for God, and I started going deeper into my Lutheran church. But as I went deeper, I still felt empty. I went on mission trips. I went to Ecuador for 2.5 weeks. I was like, man, this is awesome, because the people around were very spiritual and that sort of thing too. But I came back and I was still in my rut. The people around me, I just didn't feel loved. And so I went off to college. My faith started slipping. And my mom, she's pretty religious, and I love my mom to death. She called the dean of students' office at the college, which was the wrong place to call, but, I mean, it worked out. Because there was a disciple that was working there at the time, and she's like, well, I go to this church, so here's my boyfriend's number, and your son can give him a call. And she wasn't supposed to do that. She was actually supposed to refer my mom to the religious center, because she could have gotten into big trouble with that. But I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for that happening, because if it wouldn't, I wouldn't have became a disciple. I wouldn't have studied the Bible and been like, wow, there's all this stuff in my life that I need to work on, that I need to get rid of, and I need to understand like what Jesus' true sacrifice was in my life. Because I didn't fully understand that. Growing up in the Lutheran church, I was just like, okay, God's grace is what saves me, and that's it. But it's so much more than that. It's a commitment. It's a full-fledged putting yourself out there for God. And so if you could turn with me to Philemon 6. I started studying the Bible, and it was an amazing experience. Like, actually, when I first started studying, like, they gave me challenges to do different things and to read things, and I didn't really do it because growing up in the Lutheran church, I was just like, okay, a nice lesson. I went home, didn't even think about it, and then they were like, dude, you need to go over this stuff, or we're not going to study anymore. I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm actually getting quite a bit out of this. So I mean, there's so many different ways of being tested like that. Let's see, yeah, Philemon 6. In Philemon 6 it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. And this verse, it really stuck out to me when I was reading it, because this last summer I went to England. I did another internship in England, and that was with the campus ministry there. And I was going around and I was sharing my faith with people, and I ran into this guy. And with that guy, I did share Psalm 69 with him. And I could just tell he was going through a lot of the same stuff that I was going through. He was feeling empty. He was feeling alone. He was feeling almost abandoned in a sense. And he had a lot more stuff going on than what I did in my teen years. I mean, he just had recently had a divorce with his wife. He lost his younger child and that sort of a thing. And it really touched me. It reminded me of the amazingness that I have in Jesus. Like, Jesus, he has done so much in my life, and I was thankful. I was grateful to share that opportunity with him. I think that's what happens when we go and we share our faith with people, because we have that opportunity to show people like this amazing family that we have that Jesus created. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't have people around us loving us the way that they do. I mean, it's so phenomenal, and I mean, it really touched my heart. And I don't know if he's a disciple or not. I haven't heard anything from the Glasgow Church of Christ in Scotland, but I mean, I have to keep praying for him, because when you reach out with people, you understand just how much muck and stuff that the world is going through and how much Jesus saves us from that sort of stuff. And that's what I want us to reflect on and remember. In 1 John 4, I mean, I think it depicts it perfectly. It depicts perfectly what it is to be part of Jesus, to following Jesus. So, in 1 John 4, we're going to be reading 8 through 12. And it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen. And so reaching out is one of the greatest ways you can express that love with people. Like telling somebody about Jesus, you're bringing them into God's family. You're helping them find God. And it's so amazing. It's something I want us to meditate on, is like just the different things that people struggle and go through. I mean, mine was depression. Other people struggle with anger. Other people struggle with so many different sins and other things that plague their lives. But we need to remember that Jesus took all that away, that how actively he's invested in our lives and how actively he is still taking away our sins. Even as we're struggling with them, we keep fighting it, and we keep loving each other, and we keep moving forward as a unit together, with it. So if you could join me in prayer, that'd be awesome. Dear God, I pray that we can just remember what your Son has done for us, the sacrifice to forgive our sins. That's what communion is about. It's to remember all the great things that we have in Jesus, God. And it's because of that selflessness, that selfless nature, and we're supposed to be selfless in ourselves and reaching out to people and sharing that love with people and just being more like your Son. As it says in Philippians, God, he's the author and perfecter of our faith, and we need to be and strive to be more like him. So I pray that we can remember everything you have done in our lives. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Incredible. Amen. I hope that you enjoyed your time of communion here. It was really cool having Chris deliver the communion. And, you know, I was on a prayer walk with Stefan Smith a couple of days ago, and we started talking, and I was mentioning that Chris would be coming out. And Chris and I said, yeah, there's a guy that, you know, we're hiring, we're thinking about interviewing for an internship, and his name is Chris Yoder. He goes, Chris Yoder? Christopher Yoder? That's awesome! Just tell that guy to move here! And I'm like, oh, so you know that guy? Yeah, he was my counselor in camp, and he gave me a book, and man, he enlightened me on some different things. He's a great friend and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, amen. Well, let's add that to our prayer list together here, Stefan. And, you know, you talk about transformation. One of the stories about Chris was when Chris first came out, he came out to this event. And these guys are bowling and, you know, doing all these different things, the campus ministry. And Chris is standing off against the wall watching. Just watching. Chris is one of those guys that they say before he became a disciple of Jesus Christ and started getting transformed with that spirit in his life, didn't say a whole lot. So it is an encouragement to see him up here sharing about Jesus in his life. Amen? Awesome. I got a little something here for him to keep him, keep us on his mind here. You go and get that, Chris. Great job. Great to have you here. Amen. Now, if you're visiting with us, this is a little bit of a different Sunday in the sense that you come and you've heard an intern. I remember when I came and interviewed, you know, I did my thing. I think I did some kind of prayer thing, and then it was over. Okay, we're done. And we got to fellowship and these different types of things. So we're going to fellowship Chris here afterwards. But there's also another part of the service that we've got to sadly confront. And most of you know that Mark and Beth and the family are going to be moving to Denver. And this is Mark and Claire and Shane's last Sunday here. You know, I was hoping that I could find somebody else to do this. And for reasons such as, you know, when I first became an intern in at the University of Washington, Mark and his wife Beth were in the worship ministry in Seattle, 96, 97, somewhere in there. Yeah. I remember Mark, and I remember him leading, you know, 400, 500 people in song, and Beth riding shotgun with him, and just the joy and the energy that he brought to the Seattle church. There were many a song leader there in the Seattle church, but there was just something about Mark that when he sung, it was as if God was raying through him and spitting it out on the congregation. And, you know, the music ministry drew a lot of people into worship and the Seattle church. And I remember him for that time. I remember the words of encouragement that he brought to everyone. There's a passage in Acts chapter 4, that reminds me of Mark. And the passage in Acts 4:36, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And I just want to stop right there. Mark is an incredible encourager. Beth is an incredible encourager. Their children are developing in their own way a level of being able to encourage other people that is truly inspiring, truly something to shoot for. And we're grateful to have been able to experience that with you. And now, you know, the Denver church gets to reap some of the Lord's work in your lives. You know, there's a couple of things that stand out to me about the Hoyle family, and I think Mark is one of the more encouraging folks with words that I've ever encountered in my life. Beth as well, their ability to breathe life into an insecure individual, the ability to run interference in a conflict, the ability to speak courage into so many different people. You know, it was incredible to watch Mark count the cost with his son. And I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that. But someone that's done youth and family ministry for a very long time, it was usually some young guy, some campus guy, some whoever counting the cost with a kid. But it was something special to watch Mark eye to eye with Shane and to ask him about the validity of Jesus in his life. And to see them both come to tears and hug. And for Mark to say, Shane, I believe you're ready to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, when we saw that, we were like, you know, that's what I wanted. That's what I want to do. Just like that. You know, the other thing is when I look at the Hoyles is, you know, Wendy and I come from the Minneapolis church, and we strongly believe in a youth and family ministry. That means that the parents are involved in the ministry. And with sharing that vision with Mark and Beth, they jumped on board right away. They hosted events. They made the youth and family ministry their ministry. And the events changed dramatically when Mark led songs. And Beth would cook these incredible wontons and these chocolate chip cookies that were like my mom's. It's like I've never oh man, the events went to another level. And in the beginning, a lot of parents didn't come out. And Mark and Beth were adamant about staying in there because their children are going to be in that ministry. They are in that ministry and they embrace the ministry. And so it was really cool to see as time went on, more and more parents coming and being a part of the ministry and not just sitting back and, you know, watching or, you know, hey, mind your P's and Q's, but engaging with their children in spiritual activity and developing a level of conversation amongst each other. So we're super appreciative of the Hoyle family and their example in that. And, you know, lastly, what was super encouraging, inspiring, and challenging at the same time is we got together at we had a teen event at the Lanning's house. It was awesome. We sung all these songs, like 20 minutes of songs, and we got into a worship mode. And then we had sharing. And, you know, folks just started sharing about the Hoyle family. And what was interesting about this sharing time was that they spent more time encouraging the youth and family ministry than receiving encouragement. In a lot of ways, I believe that is encouragement for them to be able to share with others and encourage and breathe faith into others. And Mark, you, Beth, Claire, Shane, you guys did that the best. We love you for it. We're going to miss you. I love John Lusk and Doug Beatty and all the staff there. But amen. God knows what's best. Why don't you come on up, and Ken and I will go ahead and pray for you here. We got a certificate for him, a certificate that we gave to all of the people that had passed. Lee led the church, and we've got a Grammy Award coming that we're going to mail to him. And we're going to do that because the impact of the Hoyle family has been somewhat of someone that aspires and has led in a great way in Jesus the church. So I'm going to pray for Mark here. Pray with us. I wish somebody had a camera because I shake his hand like this. Remember this. In the Wichita Sentinel. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the Hoyle family. Father, even as Beth is away, Father, we pray that she feels the prayers of the saints here in Wichita. Father, we're so grateful for Mark and his family. We're so grateful for the talents that you bestowed on him. And we're so grateful, Father, that you grew him here. Father, we're grateful that you grew us and used him as an instrument. Father, thank you so much for his sacrifice and his toil. Thank you so much, Father, for the lessons that you've taught all of us through their lives and perseverance and reliance on you, Father. We're so grateful for them. We pray that they leave feeling a great deal of love and special, and Father, we pray to continue to grow as a worship ministry, as a worshiping church. God, we pray that you bless his travels. We know that you have great plans for the Hoyle family. Father, we thank you for Shane and Claire, and we pray in Jesus' name for Claire to become a disciple.
Amen, God.
We pray for Shane to go to Denver and to lead in a powerful way.
That's right.
Father, lastly, we lift up to you, if it's your will, that Mark and Beth don't ever stop aspiring to be elders.
Amen, God.
We send them away with that charge, and we pray that they allow their lives to be discipled. They allow you to refine them through fire, God, to become an elder couple. Mm-hmm. God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for the family that you allow to cross our paths and inspire us, challenge us, call us higher, and develop a deeper love for you. We thank you, and as your family, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Hi, guys. that's a cute picture. That's off Facebook. I really appreciate all your prayers because, as you probably know, my mother-in-law almost passed away after open-heart surgery. Beth was in Columbia, Missouri. And then she gets home, and I leave to go do the house hunting trip. God blessed us with a house. Amen. I drive back, and she had to leave right away because she found out 5 days before school. She was supposed to start the 23rd, and then they called her up on a Thursday and said, oh, by the way, you start on the 9th of January. So now she's back in Denver. And so it has been really crazy for the Hoyle family. We've been ripped and pulled, and it makes it very difficult for us to even know how to say goodbye to you all. But I want you to know that Beth is already making friends with people in the church and my family, my sister, my aunt, and my mom. I mean, they're just loving up on my wife, and that's really encouraging. Trust me, it's very, very encouraging. And then one thing I'll share quickly. She was at a Walmart yesterday, and she called me up and whispered, 50% of the people here in Walmart are wearing Broncos jerseys. That's pretty funny. I'm like, yeah, welcome to Colorado. But guys, in all seriousness, you guys have allowed me to grow. You've allowed me to learn to lead a worship team. You've allowed me to make mistakes. You've allowed me to kind of grow up in my family. You know, I think of Seattle. I started my family there. Wichita, I learned how to grow them, and And I still remember the times where family dynamics classes and things that Ken and Lana taught, and that I cherish in my heart, because I really learned to be a family man, and lead my family here in Wichita. And I carry that with me to Denver. But, you know, ever since April, when I realized I'm leading everything and I need to stop it, and Beth was asking me to back off and really learn to train, I feel like I've learned so much more how to be a leader that can train other people. And it's ironic that I would, you know, lose my job here and find a job there, and now I'm gone. But yet, I look up on stage and I'm so happy, because what I'm seeing is a family of worship team people developing their own style. They're not just doing what I do. They're developing their own style. And that to me is the greatest compliment of all. And I really want to thank you for just, you know, I've said this before. The worship team members, they don't want to let the worship go, you know. They don't want to do that. And it's not to say that I made it what it was, but it's to say that they want to carry that expectation. And you saw it today. You know, you saw it. We all make mistakes, and we kind of learn as we grow. But I'm so proud of everybody on the worship team. And I want you to know that today when I sat back and just watched you, I was just so proud, because I'm worshiping God and I'm looking at people that don't want things to slow down. They want this church to, in every aspect, you know, not just evangelism or commitment, but in worship, they want it to be awesome. And so I just am very, very proud. And I love you guys very much. And I'm very, very sad to go. It's very hard. I love you.
Amen. Okay. Well, we, how do you transition from that, huh? Oh, man. God does determine the times and places, doesn't he? Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, please. The singing has been great. Incredible service. Incredible service. We, this year, are remaining in the theme of being devoted.
Amen.
And I want to read that passage, and then for time's sake, I'm going to read a couple of passages here, and I'll kind of explain what we're doing here, and then we'll go ahead and get after it. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I've got the ESV here, so stay with me. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved.
Amen.
You know, when I think about the word devoted, this is what I think about. When I think about the word devoted, I think not only of me personally being devoted, I think of us collectively being devoted. And you know, at this time, this quarter, we're talking about the same thing that we talked about last quarter. We're talking about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to what Jesus taught the apostles. And you know, this year I want to do something just a little bit different. What we're going to do is this series right here at the cover of it is going to be called Renewing Our Vows. renewing our vows. And we had a couple here that renewed their vows maybe 2 years ago, and they renewed their vows. And I asked, why you want to renew your vows? Man, we want to renew our vows. We want to talk about and give back to and put that stamp back on. Yeah, I'm going to love my spouse with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part.
Amen.
You know, and it was Dan Watts, Dan and Brenda. Yeah. And you know Dan, when he gets passionate and fired up,
come on,
he's like, yeah. He's shaking, I'm shaking, okay. And that's the effect that I want us to come away with as we renew our vows to God's Word. And we're just going to talk about God's Word a little bit, and I'll make a couple of comments, and I'm going to do a Greg Moretzky. I'm going to get as many scriptures in as I can, and when it's over, I'm just going to say, we're done. Amen. So don't be mad at me. You guys go, oh, no, man, that dude gets in the spirit, and we'll be falling asleep, falling off ledges. No, we're not. We're not. Let's have a prayer. God, thank you so much for this time. It is incredible what your word can and has done in our lives. It is incredible how your spirit moves. Father, we lift up to you all adoration for who you are. God, as we think about your word, you spoke into existence everything. And Father, as you spoke into existence everything, you spoke into existence this planet, oxygen, and everything in between. Father, you also speak into our lives, life. Through your word. Father, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. We pray that we would collectively be unified in the ideal of embracing your scriptures once again. Father, please help us to view this as a time of renewing our vows and realizing who you are and what you're capable of. Father, please refine and inspire in us a great sense of you being able to speak miracles into existence where things are impossible. All things are possible with you, Father. Please bless this time. Get sin. Get all distractions out of the way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And thank you. Amen. Awesome. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about his word. We're going to talk about our hearts. This time I want you to consider this as if we were all at the altar with Jesus. And the minister had the Bible open. And it was such a cool and casual wedding that you got to open your Bible and stand there and read it word for word. And you were taking your vows again. You were taking your vows with Jesus. You know, I think one of the things that's very important for us is that we embrace God's word like when we first became Christians.
Amen.
And if we don't have to have an understanding of it as we read these, I encourage you to ask somebody to study the Bible with you. Ask somebody to sit down with you and get a schedule together and study the Bible and learn more about God and who he is and how he can transform your life. Because he can. Scripture says in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out at the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen! A farmer went out to sow seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, it produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Isn't that an incredible passage there? You know, Jesus told stories. Jesus is a master teacher. You know, a master teacher is somebody that doesn't make things more complicated. A master teacher takes things that are complicated and makes them very simple. You know, for many of us, we like illustrations. Here's one we can grasp hold of, especially a guy like Chris, who is an agribusiness guy. He's a farmer guy. His dad owns a pig farm. You know, some of us, we grew up in the city, and we're like, say what? But this right here, we're talking about soils, and I want you to think through those different soils that were talked about and ask yourself this question, because this is Jesus is talking about the Word of God and it being able to penetrate the heart of an individual. And you know, as he's got this crowd of people around him and they're all pressing up on him, you know they've heard about his miracles, they've heard about all the different things that he's done, and it's, you know, man, let me come get a miracle up in this piece. And Jesus steps out in a boat and he says, let me get some room here. Let me get some more. Let me get some room here. Let me just set things straight here and get our hearts right. And I believe as we hear this scripture this morning, the Spirit is calling us to get our hearts right. Amen. To get our hearts right concerning God's Word. I want you to ask yourself this question. Which one of those soils is me? Say, how do I define which one of these soils is me? Let's go from let's go from the same book in Mark chapter 4 and let's read in verse 13. Amen? Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Now, I don't know about you, but there's those times when you hear something in Scripture and it moves your heart, and then you're immediately faced with a challenge that distracts you from what you just heard. You know? It's like the heat comes, and the Scripture is not embedded in our hearts. And as soon as we go back to our regular selves. Yeah, I remember studying the Bible with a guy, and we talked about the Word being the blueprint for his life. Lester, this is my best friend. I said, we study. He says, yeah, I'm going to make, the Word's going to be, yes. And I didn't hear from the guy for a couple weeks. Come to find out that night, he had went to the club. And he felt guilty, and he stopped coming, and he went back to that life that he was trying to get away from. When he came around, he was like, man, I want my life to be different. And I believe that God can change my life. But as soon as he got away and got a phone call and you know, got enticed to those different things, he was gone. To my knowledge, he's never become a disciple. You know, we need to consider where we're really at with God's Word. How does it hit our hearts? Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word at once. They receive it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. You know, I'm from California, and in California, you know, in order to get out on some beaches, you know, in Santa Cruz, they got this sea cliff beach. You know, in order to get out there and be able to check out the view and these different things, there's all these rocks, you know. And in order to get out there, you got to brave these rocks, you know, and your ankles and all these different things. When you're a young person, it's all good. You know, you can kind of tip them around there. It's an adventure. But then when you see the older couples coming out, you know, the young kid goes running out, boom, boom, and he's doing the tightrope deal there. And then, you know, the older folks are, one brave soul goes out there and they slip one time, they come back and they're all done. They're all done. We'll watch from afar. We'll watch from afar. We won't get the full effect. I want you to ask yourself this question. Is that the effect that God's Word has in your life? Is that how you respond to it? You know, some of us have started studying the Bible. Some of us have made commitments to repent and to change and to grow and allow God's Word to have great effect in our lives. And we run into some roadblocks and we see some difficulties. Some of us, we start studying and it's a family member that doesn't believe the same thing that we believe. Some of you run into, man, this is going to have to be different in my life, and somebody calls you on it. Maybe somebody says you can't change. Maybe as a disciple, for so long, you've been hopeless. And maybe somebody in the church, maybe somebody that's close to you has given off an aura that you can't do it. Need deep roots. Still, in verse 18, others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke out the word, choke the word, making it unfruitful. Think about that. Some of us, we hear the word and we're more concerned with the lies that the world has for us. We want to find our identity in relationships. We want to find our identity in material things. You know, for many of us, we look at God's word and we look at the commitment and we look at the together part and we think to ourselves, you know what? I don't see the other people around me being all that the word says. Why should I invest? You know, we become more concerned with the things that we want to hold on to rather than give up. You know, you think about it. It's I was out with Chris and we went out to eat a meal and we're sitting down and I didn't have my wallet. And this is the first time in Wichita that I didn't have my wallet on me. And I'm sitting down and we ordered the food. And I'm like, yo, I'm supposed to be paying for this. Hey, man, I don't got my wallet. And, you know, the guy's walking back and the order's already placed. I'm like, we got to get up. We got to go. And Chris is like, I'll pay. And I'm like, nah, you can't pay. I got to pay. And Chris is like, man, you guys bought everything. It's cool. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I just said, Chris, I'm naked without my wallet. And he goes, you know what? We got to be naked in order to take a shower. So just let me pay. And I'm like, okay. I had to let it go. I had to let it go. But I felt so uncomfortable with no wallet. You know what I'm saying? It's like preaching with no Bible, no sword. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. No identity. But I believe that God's word calls us to be stripped down and allow God to refine us. And I believe that as disciples, I believe that if you're visiting this morning, I believe wherever you're at, in order to truly be devoted to God's word, there is going to have to be a stripping down of your humanoid person. And we talk about the vision of the church, God's vision, and it being a healthy church. That's where it starts, with God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Is that soil you? You know, some of us are sitting here, we're going, you know, hey, I'm not any of those soils. And then we get to the good one, you say, yeah, that's me. I don't, you know who you are. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I won't shake my head too much because I don't want anybody to see me, but you know, I'll smile real big. But I think there's a great question that we have to ask ourselves. Is God's word bringing fruit in our lives? Because in order for us to be a healthy church, in order for us to be able to breathe God vision into the church, in order for us to be unified, in order for us to aspire to leadership, in order for us to invest, it's only going to be fueled by God and His Spirit. And when we consider God's word and the effect of it, I have this illustration of I think of Mark Hoyle. I think of him getting out of his comfort zone. I think of him going into and really investing in the youth and family ministry. And I think about him and the times that he's prayed for his kid. This guy is his when his kid was a baby, he prayed for him to become a disciple, for shame. And he's prayed frequently for Shane to become a disciple. I mean, he was in the studies with us. He was going through everything with Shane. And him studying the Bible with Shane and Beth as well, it was them studying the Bible all over again. And then to see them face to face and him counting the cost with his son and other people chiming in because they're not used to this, but to watch him count the cost with his son and to hear Shane answer with a pure heart that he just wanted to love God, follow him. That's fruit. The time that Mark has prayed for his son, the time that he's prayed with him, the time that he's prayed with others for his son, that's fruit. Their investment in the youth and family ministry, how rich the ministry was from 3 years ago. And amen for Mark and Jamie. Amen for the Duggins. Amen for Randy and Kim Weir, all the people that have served in the ministry. To see the ministry having grown, it was incredible. It was jaw-dropping. It was like, man, we could watch that and that could be a sermon. But it has a ton to do with God's word being spit out from Mark and Beth Hoyle. You know, when we talk about the vision of the church, when we talk about God's word and its effect on our lives, the message is simple. The way that God intends for his word to have effect. Let's make a decision to allow God's word to rule our lives. If you are here and you are visiting, the question I ask you this morning, is what should your attitude be towards God's word? For all of us, what should your conviction be about obeying God's word? And lastly, are you prepared to put the word of God above your feelings, above your traditions, above your traditions, above your needs, and above your desires? You know, what you just heard is all the way up to the point where now it's time for us to get to the I do's. And I pray that as you study out these scriptures, that you make a decision with all of us to be a church that's devoted together to God's word. Let's all say I do. And to God be the glory. Thank you. Amen.